Accession number 28674, Mr. Richard Corsbrook, Grill 2. Now, we're talking about your time with the 1st Operator Battalion at Catterick from May 1940. Now, what was your reception when you first arrived there? You know, you arrive as a civilian, very much as a civilian, presumably not in uniform. What happens when you first...
I can't fully remember. I have no unpleasant feelings. So I feel that it was a quite, you know, sympathetic, friendly approach. There was really no hassle. Don't forget, I was not altogether unhappy to be in the army, and I don't think there was any distress at all. It certainly wasn't like joining, as I imagine joining the Guards would be. I remember no hassle at all.
Now, what about kitting out? What were you kitted out with?
Standard gear, the battle dress. Mom, I'll look at it, remind
they,
me.
They
boots.
Can't see them. They can't see it, remember?
No. Battle dress, boots, putties, webbing equipment, hat, shirts long, two shirts, two wear vests, or was it three? Three, I think. One in the back, one on the man, one in the wash, and one in the kit bag. That was three of everything. And just given to you, you got on with it.
Any trouble with putties when you first started with them?
No. I'd worn them in the OTC, you see.
You said that it was an old uniform, yes, sorry. Yeah. Now, what was your accommodation like?
Barrack blocks.
Were they huts or blocks?
Huts.
What were they like?
I think that, hang on, let me remember. They were, I would call them almost temporary buildings, what we would now call almost porter cabins, but of course they were built up with, I think they were wood framed, cladded outside with timber, whatever the timber is that lays over its over.
Slatted.
Like a fence, only the other way up. And interior, build wall board to supply the walls, iron frame windows, and of course, in the middle of the room, or two in each barrack room, the cast iron stove with the pipe going up the middle. It was summer, so we didn't have to use it.
And how were the rooms laid out? Well, how were the beds or bunks?
Bedsteads, down, or bunks if you like, down either side, separated I suppose by a metre and a quarter, metre and a half each. I mean, that's the sort of spacing I remember. Just a room to move. I vaguely seem to, oh, there's another funny story. Seem to remember having a cupboard by one's bed, a large, tall cupboard.
A cupboard or locker?
Well, I presume it had a locker, but it was more like a wooden wardrobe. Call it a cupboard, call it a wardrobe, but it was not a. It was quite tall. Because I remember another point that by the time I'd got established there, which you see, we went there in May, and we left in October, and we left in November. So that was the period of initiation training.
Now, let's have a look. What we do is have a look at a typical day, and we pick up all the bits of training. It gets all what life was like. And I know there's no such thing as a typical day, but just to get through the topics in a logical manner, in a way. So, how would a day start? You know,
start with reveille and
about what time, roughly?
More half past six, and then there would be a mug of tea available I think we had to go to the cookhouse to collect it. I don't think it was brought over by the billy can to the room, to the barrack room. One got up, one cleaned one teeth, one had a wash, and I suppose we were shaving. I must have been shaving in those days. Thing I don't remember. Don't remember shaving. It must have been. Breakfast in the mess. The mess was
Let's open that to a general topic. What did you think of the food? Army food. Now you'd had some, obviously, with the OTs.
No objections. The most significant thing that it started me off, always liking bacon and tinned tomatoes for breakfast. Thing I do to this day. And I mean, where they got the food from, anybody's know. But don't forget, it was not easy in civil. It was not that easy outside. It was not difficult at that stage of the war. But no complaint, no sense of complaint at all.
As far as you were concerned, the ingredients were decent enough. It was reasonably cooked and well presented. Enough of it for a growing man.
Enough of it. Yes, I don't remember any problems with
what do you get breakfast with? You remember bacon and tomato?
I remember bacon and tomato. I mean, where the hell they got it all from is anybody?
What about
guess?
Lunch?
Lunch. Yeah, it depended whether you were in or out. If you were out, you would have a haversack lunch, wouldn't you? I'm trying to remember the hunks of bread and the lumps of cheese and the billy can and the tea to make if you were doing anything else. Otherwise, it was sort of conventional food in those days. I mean,
what sort of things? Stews or
stews and mints and. I mean, no haute cuisine, but who the hell they couldn't do it.
And tea or.
You'd end up with sort of bread and butter and jam.
Yeah. What? So you had breakfast. What do you do then?
First works parade, sir, on parade, and then there would be an element of drill.
Now, how did you take to drill? You'd had obvious.
Oh,
experience.
I loved it.
Now, tell me about drill. What did you like about drill, and what was it that appealed to you?
The fact that everybody was together, controlled, that there was an element of. Everything was safe, and the drill sergeant had everybody under control. And it was a bit like listening to music when everybody plays the tune together and stays in time. It was something like that. That sort of that's what attracted me. Don't forget again, it's the old OTC coming out because
that must have been valuable to you.
Oh yes, I mean as a sergeant in the OTC, I'd managed to get the voice carrier across a parade ground from here, well beyond the other side of the house, road. And, I enjoyed it. I don't remember any lack of enjoyment.
What about, did all the squad, were they all good?
Oh,
together?
No, they were all, there was always the awkward one. You see, I've mentioned the musical bloke who was...
Not
who,
on tape, you haven't. Not on
sorry?
Tape, not on tape, you haven't.
Haven't I?
Not on tape, no.
No. Yeah, sorry, you've lost me. You've thrown me. Looking at these fellas, they were all pretty normal. There was this little bloke down the front. Now, there was a little bloke. Called him. His name was Hill. He came from Hull. He was very short. And he was always sort of not the awkward one. He was always the one who couldn't quite manage it. And I remember we called him Saffa. And I will tell you that was because that one of the drill sergeants called out that short-arsed bleep in the front row, so we called him Saffa. And he was quite a character, absolutely dedicated to the newspaper and the radio. I had somehow by this, but within a week or two, got a relatively heavy wireless up there, so we must have been on must have been October. I'd gone on, first on leave was October, and I must have brought back my radio, stuck it in my large cupboard, because that's how I remember it. And this little chap used to sit with his ears to the news.
Now, how did you get on with them? Have a look at the, you're looking at the picture.
We were all called reasonably good pals. I can't remember. I can remember that one and him. I've lost another couple here, who Mowat and Jimmy Milne.
Were they from the same sort of background as
yourself? Yes, yeah, some were more upmarket than we were. We're relatively upmarket, but nobody sort of very laid back. They were all practical, you know, grammar school met blokes who'd started work and were doing fairly reasonable jobs, intelligent jobs.
I presume there was no bullying within the group.
No.
How about the recruits who, you know, you're there, you're one squad, but you're in a battalion. How did you get on with the others, the ones who were training?
I can't remember that there was, I think that there was very much, you were very much within your own squad. I can't remember any, I suppose we had football and cricket and God knows what with other people, but I can't remember it. But as a squad, we were a very happy, jolly lot.
Now, how did you get on with the instructors?
I cannot remember any particular instructors, so I can't answer that. Obviously, no hassle, but I can only assume that's by omission rather than anything else. I think eventually I got made.
Hang on, well, that's running ahead. That's running a bit ahead. You don't remember the sort of instructors? I mean, were they shouting and bawling, or were they?
Well, you had a shouting and bawling drill instructor, but most of them were fairly mild technical blokes. You know, they were teaching you to operate a radio. They were teaching you.
Let's go back. So you have your drill sessions. What else might you be doing in the morning? What other training sessions?
Learning the Morse code.
Now tell me how they did that. Do you know the Morse code already?
Yes, just about, I think. So I knew the Morse code.
Now, had you learnt that with the Octu, or had you learned that through your...
No, I'd learnt that through interesting communications.
Now, how did they set about teaching?
I can't remember the detail. I think they simply, by sending characters on the Morse sounder... And it was the iddy 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 umpty sounder, not the bleep 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 sounder that you were being trained for the telegraph sounder, which it went click clack. You remember the old fashioned telegraph system used a device which moved like that, didn't bleep, and it clacked, and it clicked, and it clacked. And if it clicked, it was a dot, and if it clacked, it was a space. Iddy, 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 umpty, iddy was the way we used to do it. And that you would be told to go away and learn the Morse code. You came back next day, and they would just keep sending messages.
So how would they send messages? Was that from the front of the...
From the front, yeah, yeah.
And you'd just write them down?
You'd just write them down.
And what about practicing sending?
I can't remember the detail. We had Morse keys and sounders. And
did you have any trouble learning Morse? I mean, I accept you knew it, or just about.
No, no trouble. I mean, I've forgotten it now, but we certainly managed to learn it. Not very efficiently, because it did not become our job in trade. But
now, what else were you learning? Drill, Morse code.
Morse code, and then the operating procedure, then the procedures for the various bits of equipment, like the ones I can most remember, the telephones, the tele-Ls, and the telephones. Some of the telephones had a Morse sounder on them. We also learned how to use the heliograph.
Now, hang on. Which comes first? Which is better? Because you've got three or four things there. Telephone procedure, what's that?
Well, I mean, just that there was a how to work this telephone.
Now, does that include switchboard routine or just the telephone?
Yeah, I think there was some switchboard routine. Yes.
And what is there to learn about using the telephone?
Putting the batteries in, changing the batteries, remembering what batteries it's got to, not remembering, remembering the type, knowing the type of battery. I mean, being the army, unscrewing everything in the right order and putting it together in the right order, including your rifle, which of course we did small arms training as well.
Come back to that. So there's training in the use of the telephone. What else?
Use of telegraph equipment, which I can't remember the details of very much. I mentioned the old sounder, the telephones which had a buzzer on them, that's a Telly L's.
You mentioned the heliograph as well. Now, was Sorry? That serious, or did you use that much? Or
what?
The heliograph.
No, it was a good laugh, that was. We went out and on the Catrick Moors and I think the sun went in, so that was the end of the day, but it explained how to set it up against the sun.
Now, you also mentioned weapons training. Tell me about that.
Well, we obviously did cleaning. I mean, the one thing that you never forget if you are of your training is the taking a rifle apart and the... We're back to T.S. Eliot now, the naming of parts, aren't we? You know, taking the weapon apart, knowing all the bits and cleaning it and having it inspected and making sure that you pull it through. We're cleaning your rifle every day and there was a rifle inspection every day. And eventually, you went out and shot, fired the duff. You did small arms training on the range.
How,
I mean, not
how thorough was the rifle training?
Not very. I mean, either because we weren't going to be infantrymen or because there wasn't time. We went out, I imagine, we'd done more than a couple of times and fired 5 to 10 rounds a time.
Now, what other weapons were you introduced to? The bayonet or...?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. You had to learn to put the bayonet on. And again, it wasn't quite Dad's army, but not far removed.
Did you have to practice charging sacks or bayonet fighting?
I think we did, but I don't remember it. I don't think we did a little lot. This was a fairly... the war wasn't really getting... We hadn't quite had Dunkirk, so... You know, it was a bit of an army, a bit of a game, really.
What other weapons?
I think we were taught to take a Lewis gun apart. Bren gunner's only just coming in.
Now, Lewis is quite complicated.
I mean, that's why I don't remember. I don't think we did it more than a demonstration of the Lewis gun. Well, here is a Lewis gun. Let's hope you don't have to take it apart. But if you do, here how you do it.
Did you get to fire the Lewis?
No.
About hand grenades?
No, they're dangerous.
Now, what are the trainings? So, is that...
Well, we all taught to drive a lorry.
Tell me about learning to drive. Could you drive already?
Technically, yes, because had I got a provisional license? Yes, because we'd had the L plates had come out before the war, hadn't they? And I'd got my provisional license, so I claimed I could drive, so I was given the minimum of training. And
how did they train you?
Get in that car and drive.
It's a lorry.
Let in that lorry. It was the 1500 weight lorries. I very minimum, they more or less said, you know how to drive, don't you? So you of course said yes. If that's the brake, it's a Bedford lorry, easy to drive.
No double declutching. Oh, there would be double declutching.
Oh, it would be double. But then don't forget, one had learnt to drive before the war. So although the Morris 8 had synchromesh on top, that I'd learnt on, it didn't have synchromesh up the first and second. So one almost instinctively and which is what one doesn't do these days, double the clutch.
Now, what other training, what other sessions might you have in a day?
Yeah, makes you wonder what we did, doesn't it? It would be training. I'm not going to flannel, I can't remember.
No.
We were there, May, June, July, near best part of 6 months.
Now, in the evening, what would you do? I mean, was there a lot of bull preparing for kit inspections?
Yes, there was a certain amount of bull.
How far would you go to prepare for a full-on officer's kit inspection?
Well, not as far as you would. Not terribly far by imagined standards. Your stuff had to be clean and polished, but your boots would not need to be polished to a very high standard. Your boots would obviously have to be clean.
But no parade glossing.
No super glossing as per the guards. It was just a question of things being clean and tidy.
And did you have to lay your bed out?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that was the thing I was trying to think of the other day. How we were taught. Obviously by example. You put your blankets in a certain way, and it was a custom of the particular camp, presumably, where you folded your underwear and put it in your socks. But there was a standard layout for the kit, for obvious reasons that the inspecting officer could see if anything was missing. And that was all lined up on the end of the bed. But no, never seemed to be any problem.
How did you take overall to the discipline? I mean, you'd been used to it, in a sense.
I didn't worry me at all. It wasn't high discipline. It wasn't guards discipline. It was comfortable, common sense, do what you're told and don't muck about, do it.
Now, what about in the evening? Were there any recreation?
What organised recreation? I don't know. I suppose we were getting ourselves ready for tomorrow, cleaning kit and that. Certainly reading, listening to the radio, and nipping across to the NAFI or whatever it was. I always remember the NAFI in Catterick, which was our end of the camp. Tea and buns and God what.
Did it offer anything else? I mean, did it offer game, either billiards or darts?
I think so. Don't think I played it, but I think so.
Was it a wet canteen?
Beer. One of my friends said, the first time he ever saw me, I was drinking a pint of beer or a glass of beer and eating a bar of chocolate. Of course, which is one of the things when one gets older, one realises it's hardly not good taste. I mean, it doesn't taste right.
Anything else about your routine of life there, or anything happened while you were there?
No. I mean, I can't remember any. Oh well, of course. All right. While we were there, no sooner had we got there, of course, and had got. Then Dunkirk happened, and we go on, of course, through to September, and I'm still there in September. I remember that September the 15th, the big Battle of Britain Day, when invasion was expected, sea line was expected. Wouldn't say big panic, but we were on a high state of alert, as you say nowadays, and we were actually we were on guard somewhere around Catterick. But that was probably fairly normal to be out, do one's turn with being on guard.
What happens next? Tell me about the assessment process of your.
I don't think I remember any passing out from here. I think it was. We were an OCU squad. They were trying to teach us what the army was like. They succeeded. They told us what the Royal Signals did operating wise. they succeeded. And then we were dispatched, I think, almost to the various octaves. I don't think we all went, this was in November, we all went to the Aldershot octave. Some of us did, and if I could only recognise the people, I'd about half of us went to Aldershot. On we went on a train and overnight in November down to Aldershot.
Now, who were you joining there?
Number one R Sigs Octave. I think it was number one R Sigs Royal Signals Octave. Still being Royal Signals, still keeping it within the regiment.
So which barracks at Aldershot? Or do you may not remember.
Hang on. Mons. Down by the canal.
Now, what about your reception there? What happened when you got there?
Don't remember in detail. Got off the train. We went by of course, being a mild train enthusiast, the train ride was good, even though it took all day. We ended up by going, we went Derby, East Coast Main Line, Midland to Derby, down to Oxford, Reading, round to North Camp, and we got off at Ashvale. In the middle, it was quite late, very late, but I don't remember anything significant. We got there and we went in and we were accommodated.
Now, what was the accommodation like at
More or less the same, general description. Barrack huts rather than permanent accommodation. More or less the same. I can't remember. It's probably a bit more gentlemanly, if that's a word to use. But they were wooden huts, because before we got there, but only just, somebody had left a blow lamp going and had managed to burn one of them down.
Now, tell me about your training at Mons then.
Well, that, of course, covered every aspect of Royal Signals work, the theoretical side almost of military history and military tactics.
So you actually did a military history course?
A couple of lectures, nothing enormous, but you seem to be being taught the sort of structure of the history of the army and army law. And then all the technical stuff. There was obviously less concentration on drill, and but much good technical lectures on all technical aspects and practical aspects.
And what type of lectures? Tell us a bit. What were the subjects?
Oh dear, I can't remember in detail. I can remember being taught workshop practice of one thing, how to file a bit of metal square. We knew already, but nevertheless, there was workshop practice.
That's training as a fitter.
That's roughly, yes, training so that you could mend things. I mean, it was not just operator training, come and work a Morsky. It was all aspects of a signal officer. I'm trying to think of wireless. We had wireless. We take wireless sets out round the heathland, round Aldershot. We'd have wireless schemes.
Well, tell me about them. What would a typical wireless scheme be?
Well, you'd be out. That's right. You'd be out with your wireless van, you'd this 800 weight Ford V8 with a wireless set in the back, and there'd be others. The rest of the course would be out in theirs. You would be operating the radios in accordance with operating procedure, Morse code, Morse signaling to one to another, and then there was one. We had a treasure hunt where well, it wasn't a treasure hunt, but it was a location thing, because we were trying to use the aerial, using a directional aerial to locate people. But no, we're doing wireless. Well, I mean, what is a wireless scheme? You sit in a wireless truck and you send messages, and somebody tells you to go somewhere and you go somewhere and tell the message back to say you've got there.